Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team, getting ready for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Today is January 16, 2021, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our program, which is the 1,219th program that Spirit of Truth Ministry has produced for Blog Talk Radio. We did a couple of years before we started with Blog Talk Radio on TalkShoe, and I'm not actually sure how many we had. I think it was about 600 programs for that year, those couple of years. It was in that neighborhood. So we've been producing programs that have been discussing and searching for truth for a lot of years. This is the 27th anniversary of the class, the Sabbath school class, that's like a Sunday school class, that got this started. Do you remember was that October or what? When was that you first started, Rick, the class at church? Do you remember the
27 years ago this weekend?
So it was it was January. September came to mind for some reason.
Martin Luther King Jr. birthday weekend.
So, again, we're happy to have you here with us. Our websites are at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net, capital S, capital T, capital M. And we encourage you to go there for research material. Let's have our prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Father, brother, and mother, we thank you for being here with us today as we honor your names by searching for the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, we cannot come to the Father, which is the greatest desire of our hearts. So thank you, Father, for being here with us. Thank you for putting the words that you would like us to say in our mouths. And thank you for 27 years of being encouraged by your Holy Spirit to go outside of the lines and find the truth. And I pray, Father, for all of us and those who listen, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Michael, me boy, over there, and Larry is here, Dr. Don, and good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Dennis.
We are having, we did have a communion service this morning with homemade grape juice from Rick and homemade unleavened bread that has white whole wheat, barley, salt, water, and one egg. And one egg is enough. So
we are celebrating in remembrance of our teacher, who is also our King and our Savior,
who opened the door to the kingdom so that the righteous could enter. He paid a very high price. But I will say that he would say it was worth it. Think about that. When I first started this class, the very first Sabbath, I set up chairs that filled the kitchen at the church where we were attending. And then I sat there and waited for someone to show up. And eventually my dad and my brother showed up. So we had a family conversation that Sabbath. They wanted to know what I was going to talk about. The next Sabbath, I had talked to the individual who said that he would like to get together with me to discuss some of the new ideas that I had. So I said, "Are you serious, or shall I forget this whole thing?" And he says, "Oh, no, no, I'll be there." So the next Sabbath, I set up a table and put six chairs around it, or seven chairs. I was being more realistic then. And by the time that the class was to start, the chairs were full. Even had to bring in a couple extra. And from that time on, with the exception of one Sabbath, there has been this class. And I'm sure my friends and fellow associates here who have basically been there since right after the beginning. Dennis came a little bit later, but it's been long enough. He's part of the old guard.
You got grandfather, Dan.
Yeah, and in my case, the old is not euphemistic.
And I talked about the end of the Jubilees and the full cup. And that doesn't have the same significance now that it did then. At least as I saw it then. In fact, my understanding then would hardly even be relevant to my understanding today. I wanted to focus the study today around three chapters in Revelation. Chapter 10, Chapter 11, and Chapter 12. These three chapters are the three that primarily describe what the end will be like. Chapter 10 really doesn't describe what happens during the time of the end of days, but what happens just prior to the start of a time of peace and prosperity where Satan has lost the battle. Chapter 11 talks about how Satan has mastered the world, has control of most of the people, and God offers a choice to mankind to choose to worship him and obey him, or to worship the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and obey them. It's interesting that the seventh trumpet appears in chapter 11. And you may wonder why that is. In fact, the seventh, the number seven of each seven that we're given, except for the seven churches, is separated by a description of an event or events. If you look at the seals in chapter 6, we read about the sixth seal starting in verse 12. We read about the seventh seal. In your Bible will be the first verse of chapter 8, but it actually should be the last verse of chapter 7. The reason I say that is, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but its placement seems to put it before the trumpet starts. But it actually occurs as one of the last things, one of the last elements in the judgment, the opening or breaking of the seventh seal.
Could you go over that again? It should be the last, those verses, it should be the last verse, the first verse. Could you review that quickly?
Chapter 8, verse 1, okay, should be in chapter 7, verse 18. It has confused a lot of people who think that the seventh seal is broken before the first trumpet starts.
And
so you would have the opening of the book of life and the revealing of the names before any of them have ever been judged.
And that is an editorial issue. That is the
translation.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
It is not. It's not translated. It's translated correctly. It's just placed in the wrong place because of a perspective that the editors who put this there, who did the numbering of the verses
and the
chapters, what their proclivities were.
And of course, there is the seventh trumpet, as we said. So we have the sixth seal and then a separation before the seventh seal. The sixth trumpet and a separation before the seventh trumpet, and the sixth bowl of wrath and a separation before the seventh bowl of wrath. And it is interesting that chapter 10 speaks of the seventh trumpet. And chapter 9, I think it is. Or chapter 8. Yes. Chapter 8, we have verse 13 that says, I heard an eagle calling aloud as it flew high overhead, trouble, trouble, trouble for all the people on earth at the sound of the other three trumpets, which the three angels are going to blow. And then, of course, in chapter 11, we have the seventh trumpet as part of that chapter. In chapter 10, we are told that when the seventh angel sounds, God's secret intention will be made known. Chapter 12 kind of puts everything together before. So this is how it happens to come about. There are two major or main elements in this. The great red dragon and the woman. They are the leaders, I guess, of the two groups. And interestingly enough, we read about these two in Genesis 3. Starting with verse 13. Then Yahweh God asked the woman. This is not the woman of Revelation 12. This is Eve. What is this you have done? The woman replied, the serpent tempted me and I ate. Then Yahweh God said to the serpent, because you have done this, be accursed beyond all cattle, all wild beasts. You shall crawl on your belly and eat dust every day of your life. I will make you enemies of each other. And what I want you to notice is the transition here. He talks to the human woman, the flesh and blood woman. What have you done? She blames the serpent. Who is the serpent? We are told who the serpent is in Revelation 12. The great dragon, this is verse 9 of Revelation 12. The great dragon, the primeval serpent, known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived all the world, was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. What is the dragon? What is the dragon's crime? He has deceived the world, the whole world. What did the woman say about the serpent here in verse 13 of Genesis 3? What have you done? The woman replied, the serpent tempted me. Some of yours may say deceived me. And I ate. Then, in his accursing, he accurses snakes. But then he moves into spiritual, I will make you enemies of each other. Right there, he moves this into the spiritual realm, because it is the spiritual realm where all this takes place. Our spiritual realm is our mind, our intellect. So we have here what literally happened, and then we have what spiritually is going to happen because of what literally happened. I will make you enemies of each other. What do enemies typically do?
Fight.
Fight.
Against each other.
They have battles if one attacks the other, which of course ultimately seems to be what happens. I will make you enemies of each other, you and the woman, your offspring and her offspring. Do you notice what that next word there is? What is that next word? Two letters, and it isn't he. It. Now, I know your Bible may say he. That's why I prefer using the Jerusalem Bible. Instead of he or she, it is it. What is it? Is it a person? Is it a place? Or is it a thing?
Well, in that one, this is something without gender.
Who are her offspring? Yes, they are the righteous. Yes, they are the ones who keep the commandments, hold to the testimony of God. But what are they? They are the kingdom.
Kingdom. Yeah.
They are the kingdom of God. The kingdom will crush your head, and you will strike its heel. These two, the woman and the serpent, we see in Revelation 12. Do you see that? Is that clear, or is there kind of a question about that?
It's clear. Obvious.
Like you see the woman, the serpent, and the third.
No. We also see that this war broke out in the heavens when Michael and his angels attacked. Who did they attack? The dragon. And how is it that they attacked the dragon? When did this happen? Well, let's take a look. In John, and what is it, 14 or 15? Or 16. Where he says, let's start with verse 1. I did not tell you this from the outset because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me. Not one of you asked. 16. Not one of you asked, where are you going? Yet you are sad at heart because I've told you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going, because unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send her to you. The advocate is the woman. So understand that. The advocate is the woman of Revelation 12. That's why I don't use he and him pronouns. And when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin, and about who was in the right, and about judgment, about sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. About who was in the right, proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. About judgment, proved by the prince of this world being already condemned. I shall have many things to say to you, but they would be too much for you now. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, she will lead you to the complete truth, since she will not be speaking as from herself, but will say only what she has learnt, and she will tell you of the things to come. She will glorify me, since all she tells you will be taken from what is mine. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said, all she tells you will be taken from what is mine. And I have a question concerning that. I have more to tell you, more than you can now.
Sounds a little like Revelation 10, doesn't it?
It's interesting that what I have come to understand has been because of two things. The first and foremost and most important is my mother. My heavenly mother, the Holy Spirit, has taken the time to work with me patiently and teach me the things that I need to know, because I made a commitment to her to listen and to learn. And the other thing that is interesting is that she used the words of John and Matthew. The words of the law and the words of the prophets. And also the words of scientists and historians. So that I could see the whole picture. You see, if I didn't understand the life road and the death road, how would I have ever known what Revelation 10 truly was for? All the pieces were put together, and I cannot say enough in commendation and thankfulness for the Holy Spirit. And the other is the two disciples that took the time to write down what they heard and what they experienced. Because without those words, there's no way I could have done this. Without God telling me. But how do you prove yourself ready to hear more? You see, the level of understanding needed to be set. The prophets that God called, including Moses, made it necessary for God to basically start from the very beginning with each one of them. Several of them were reluctant or unwilling, but ultimately they cooperated because God doesn't give you that choice. But the faithful and wise enough servant, that word enough, which you only find in the Jerusalem Bible, means that when the servant welcomes his master, it is because he has learned enough to be ready to go into the next level of his job. And that he has prepared his fellow servants, and that's what they are, our fellow servants, that are ready to serve. Michael and his angels won the war in the heavens. The dragon and his angels were defeated, and they were cast out of the heavens, and they came here to the earth. And we can read about what happened. He set about to subdue mankind. He knew his success depended upon his ability to turn the minds of men through lies and deception, power and wealth, to turn them to wickedness. He knew that the level of wickedness, was necessary for him to have his ultimate victory before he was vaporized into nothingness. He did not accomplish that level of wickedness. In Revelation 12, starting with verse 13, As soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman, the mother of the male child. But she was given a huge pair of eagle's wings to fly away from the serpent into the wilderness, to a place where she was to be looked after for a year, twice a year, and half a year. I don't know about the timing. I think the timing had more specifically to do with the death row. I'm not saying it did. I'm saying that I think that it was more specific to the death road. Although I can see how it could be said that the 3.5 years could be talking about that period of time during the presidency of Donald Trump. It is not a stretch. It doesn't require a huge stretch of the imagination to see that it was because of the quote-unquote discovery of the Americas. At least it was discovered by the Europeans and by the Nordic people, the Nordic voyagers, that offered a refuge for those who were being persecuted because of their religious beliefs in Europe. And they fled in ships. You could say they fled on eagle's wings.
The sails would have looked like that.
To the Americas. To the newly discovered land. And that those people would ultimately form governments in states, and the states in a union, and the union would have a constitution which guaranteed the freedom to practice your religion without government interference. And they did that because of the governmental and authoritarian persecution that most all who came over here for religious freedom had experienced. So it could be said there was a place in the wilderness God had prepared to keep the woman out of reach of the dragon. A place that would be conducive for the development and the coming about of his kingdom. That he had been waiting for millennia to form, to be confirmed, and to have righteous people in his kingdom. When that happened, he could have a war on the earth between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the serpent. It would be the same type of war that was waged in the heavens. Not a war with artillery munitions, chemicals, etc. But a war of information. It was truth exposing lies and lies trying to wash away the truth. Like the flood of water that the dragon vomited up out of his mouth to sweep the woman away. One of the first beings I want to meet, at least to see, is the Holy Spirit, and thank her for her patience, for her excellent teaching, and for her love and her comfort. There's no way I could have done this without her. We are in a transition right now. Satan is giving this all he has. But the war is all but over. The victory has already been secured. What Revelation 11 talks about, we'll go over right now. And I want you to see the difference between Revelation 11 and Revelation 10. Particularly if you think about the message. Revelation 10 tells us matter-of-factly that there's information that God has purposefully withheld because we are not to know it. John heard it, but John was told to keep it a secret, to seal it up. And it's interesting that this information, the sealing of which, is unlike the information in Daniel that was sealed up. Because that information we can read. The information in Daniel 9 that had to do with the children of Israel and what God had tasked them with and required them to accomplish, and they didn't. And it said that if they did accomplish that, it would seal up the vision and prophecy of the last days because the final judgment would come at the end of that 70 sevens or 490 years. But Revelation 10, not only was it sealed up, but the information wasn't even made known. That, I think, is significant. Revelation 11, we can read. All the information in Revelation was not sealed up. It was available throughout time, as long as Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12, and 8, and 7, and 9 was, and 2. Revelation 11, starting in verse 1. Then I was given a long cane as a measuring rod. I think of this like a bamboo stock, a big bamboo. It has a given length. Be like, you know, a yardstick. A yardstick is 3 feet long.
You know, this is interesting because I work at a hardware store and we sell yardsticks. Yardsticks are over in paint. Okay? There's a little place where they are. They're just sitting in there standing up, and you can go grab one, and for $1.99 you can have it. I remember when they were 25 cents. You will not find those over in the place where we keep tape measures and precision measuring devices like lasers and other things, because a yardstick is not a precision element. It is simply something where you can, you know, hold it up against the wall and say, well, that's about 3 feet, okay? If you want to find exactly what it is, for instance, 35 inches and 3/8, you need something else, because you can't use that to make a precision cut on wallboard or on glass or on anything else that you want to actually fit. And that is what this device is in Revelation 11. It is an approximation, not an actuality.
Now, here's something I want to share with you. And incidentally, this just occurred to me.
Funny how that happens.
So, when we read in chapter 9, let's start with verse 1. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the heaven to the earth, and he was given a key to the shaft leading down to the abyss. When he unlocked the shaft of the abyss, smoke poured up out of the abyss like smoke from a huge furnace, so that the sun and the sky were darkened by it. And out of the smoke dropped locusts, which were given the powers that scorpions have on the earth. Remember that. Now turn to chapter 16, Revelation, starting at verse 12. The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates, and all the river dried up, so that a way was made for the kings from the east to come in. By the way, that is the Chinese. Just in case you were wondering, the kings from the east are the Chinese. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, I saw three foul spirits come that looked like frogs. And in fact, they were demon spirits able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God Almighty. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes. So that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. They called the kings together at the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, when we're reading all of this, what are we reading about?
Death and destruction.
Horses, frogs, abyss.
Pain, suffering.
Locusts. One of the things that I have experienced is people telling me, well, when you read Revelation, it sounds like a war back in the
medieval
or Roman, you know, you've got the horses and the chariots and in all of that.
Blood up to the bridle.
What if the reason, one of the reasons why God told John not to write down what he heard was that it has a much more up-to-date description of that future?
Oh, you know, that's a good idea. That's probably true.
Just a thought. Back to Revelation 11. Go and measure God's sanctuary and the altar and the people who worship there. But leave out the outer court and do not measure it, because it has been handed over to the pagans. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months.
Rick, this, again, we see this measuring rod giving an approximation of righteousness, just like was given to the faithful and sensible slave, who is wise enough to figure it out. Could that be true?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I'm saying here is, I believe this happens if the faithful and wise servant decided things had gone on too long. And was not ready or prepared when this happened. That's why there are two witnesses. That's why there's 144,000. That's why there are five wise bridesmaids. The one thing that we know for sure about the five wise bridesmaids is when they enter the kingdom, the door is shut. And what does that mean? In Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 10, and this is talking about the foolish bridesmaids. They had gone off to buy it, the oil, when the bridegroom arrived. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding hall, and the door was closed. The wedding hall is the kingdom. The other bridesmaids arrived later. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. We have our oil. It doesn't say that, but that's, I guess, implied. But he replied, I tell you solemnly, I do not know you. So stay awake, because you do not know either the day or the hour. It is completely clear to me, without question, that the organized power structure of Revelation 13, described by the first beast that comes out of the sea, is the globalist New World Order. The head administrator of which is the one who started the World Trade Organization, Klaus Schwab. They have worked very hard with trillions of dollars to set up the New World Order, and the only piece left to be put in place is the United States. And the only way that that final piece would be put in place is with the inauguration of the puppet government of the globalists that is basically the Democrat Party and the rhinos who are really leftists under the cloak of conservatives.
At least the Democrats aren't hypocrites. The rhinos are.
Well, that's subterfuge and that kind of thing. So I am saying to you that if that were going to happen, if we were going to see this take place, it would have happened in started in July of 2012, July 11th, to be specific, the first date on my chart. And that would have happened if the world were in a state of wickedness such as was at the time just before Noah built the ark. But it is not. The people of the world, not just the people of the United States, but the people of the world have not submitted to the devil, have not chosen a path of wickedness. So God is not giving them the hell described in Revelation to judge those who live on the earth. He has his kingdom. That stone that broke itself away from the mountain would be the kingdom of the world. That stone strikes the image at its feet. The fact that God has a kingdom on earth today is why the left and the globalists are not winning this. They have been defeated because God has a kingdom and there is a world that the majority of whom are God-fearing, caring people who, given the opportunity, will willingly and readily learn the truth about the true God who created them. That is how the kingdom of God, the stone, crushes the kingdom of the world. Not through force of arms, but through force of trust, faithfulness, and love for God and for their fellow man.
And whatever God does for his kingdom is often done at the very last second, only so that they know it's him doing it. And we're coming down to the last second. Thank you, Rick. That was fabulous. I encourage our listeners to go back and you can download this or any of the other number of 1,219 programs. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath, a wonderful next couple of days. Let's keep our eyes open and our ears to the ground, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining us. So long for now.